This episode is brought to you by Mills Nutrients.
Friendship joint.
Ooh, I love friendship joints. I love rolling joints and friendship. Friendship I love joints. Friendship.
I love smoking joints. What else? Go for it.
I don't really like smoking them, but I love rolling them. You know, one thing I also don't like is growing weed because it seems so cumbersome and difficult. Knowing what kind of nutrients and products to use, it can become cumbersome, like I said.
Cumbersome is the word for this commercial.
Whoa, wait a minute, wait a minute. This is some fire weed. Who grew this?
Yours truly.
Thought Bubble.
Well, you can. If you come by
can hear my thoughts?
Yes.
Oh my God.
You know that, man. If you come by our shop, we can help you out. Mills pays the bills, man. All you need to know.
What shop?
Guru's Grow Supply.
Where?
It's in Pearl City.
Ooh.
Majestic Pearl City.
Another one of my favorite things. Pearl City. How long has Mills been providing these high quality nutrients for?
Premium nutrients for 30 years. I've been cracking at it for about 13, so yeah.
Which is pretty crazy because if you didn't know, he's only 14 years old.
That was one.
But cool. So I'm gonna roll this friendship joint to celebrate our friendship. I love friendship. And to celebrate our love for MillsNutrients.com.
Definitely do it. MillsNutrients.com. Check them out. Mills pays the bills.
Can we do something? One, two, three. Mills pays the bills. Start the show.
A new medical study on the effects of marijuana use confirms that everyone knows you're high and that you'll most likely never stop feeling like this.
Your parents know you're high. Your friends know you're high. Strangers on the street know you're high.
Welcome to Everyone Knows You're High. Hosted by Uncle Kalei.
You could have never come back. And
Uncle Aaron.
If I could, like, retreat away.
Yeah. You should definitely try that.
This is forever. This is the new reality.
Enjoy the show. Enjoy the show. Enjoy the show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Everyone Knows You're High, starring the Grow Guru and myself, Uncle Eric. Thank you for joining us. This episode, we are joined by none other than Harrison Stafford of Groundation. World traveled, like, I'm super excited about this episode. I'm not going to try and lie and hide it. This is like a dream of mine to have you on and talk to you and, you know.
Yeah, give thanks for that, Eric.
So thank you. Yeah.
It's good to see you. Family, you know?
Super stoked. So
yeah,
if I'm awkward and giddy, just excuse me. No, you guys can go. Yeah, you're fine.
We all got to tone down the giddiness because, like, even I woke up this morning, I'm like, holy, we're actually going to go and check out Groundation.
Yes,
and it's more so like, yeah, your music is something significant to me. You know, one of my favorite bands, like, and this goes across all genres of music. Like, when I turn you guys on and I listen to you guys, like, my daughter gets into it. You know, so it's like it's just like a spiritual vibe for us when we have you guys playing, and like, it's like surreal just to have you here, man. So thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. Hell, my honor, family. Hell, you know it all, Anna. Yeah. Feel that.
Yeah. So what's it like being back in Hawaii after a few years of, you know, what everybody's gone through?
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, you know it. You guys are from here. So I feel like there's a magic in the air, you know? You have the physical beauty. You have the beach. You have nature. You have all the fresh fruits, vegetables. And there's just, with it carries a spiritual vibe. Mm. So we as Groundation, as you say, you know, it's like a spiritual music.
Yeah.
You know, for us, it's like a healing, like going to a church every night. And to do it here in this sacred place, it just raises the energy and the vibration in the building. So it's wonderful.
I appreciate it that you call it sacred. You know, like a lot of people come and, like, as you see around us, they kind of look at it as a commodity. You know, you guys come here with the proper mindset that, like, oh, this is a sacred place. We're coming here to spread the vibes, you know, spread our spirituality and bring everybody together, like-minded individuals. And
yes, man.
That's the start of a change, I believe, and Hawaii needs that. We need that movement.
We feel that, like we were saying a few days ago when we were in Maui, you know, after what they've gone through and the Hawaiian people and their history and all this thing. It was something that, man, we were honored to be able to do it, and you could see that the people needed it so badly.
Yes, yes.
And our music is 100% that, you know? Mm-hmm. We don't have this jump, jump, party, party,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
All of our songs is talking about a spiritual awakeness, you know, trying to go beyond religions and politics and nations and classes, and to be minded that, you know, we need to be grounded.
Yeah.
We need to be one, because we are brothers and sisters, we have our children, and the future is one future, one destiny for our children. Let's make it beautiful.
Yeah.
So it was special.
We all have kids. Did you find like that changed as you had kids, like your idea of, you know, the purpose and the mission of the band and the music?
I mean, the mission was always the same, but it really raised the level of the intensity, you know? And I would say to my wife and whatnot, I feel so blessed because there's lots of different styles of music and things.
Yes.
I'm not going around this world spreading foolishness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. At least when I leave my children, I feel like I'm doing some benefit for them.
Yes.
Trying to create a better environment in our world.
Yes.
And as we all know, you know, this music is a vibration.
Mm-hmm.
When you put it out, no one can stop it.
Right.
So you put out those good energies, it's going to strengthen my children. So I feel great about it.
That's such a good, like, advice for everybody. Like, it's not how significant the jump is that you're leaving for your children. It's as long as you made forward movement for them to carry the momentum on and leave it better than where you left it, right? That's the philosophy everyone
right,
has.
And this is where our generation's seeing, like, wait a second, are we taking a step back? Is our children really going to have a better world than us?
Right, yeah.
This idea that we've had stumbling blocks in the way,
yes.
Major ones, you know, especially in America, you know, which reflects all around the world.
Right.
So, right. You know, we're trying, but here as we are, with this 20th anniversary of Hebron Gate, after October 7 in Israel and in Gaza and these things, it's like the intensity of that album raises, because it's all about that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I speak a lot of figurative language, but this dragon war that I speak about in the music is this conflict, this religious territorial conflict to which we see rise up. So yeah, man, it's an intense battle we have.
Yes, yes.
But it's a beautiful one. It's all we got.
Yep,
I think it shows the, like, it's a testament to your music that 20 years later, this album is still so relevant and, like, well-received.
Man.
And you guys are on this tour for this album, celebrating 20 years.
Yeah, we've gone all over the world, and you see, man, can you believe? Look at the people's reaction, you know?
Yeah.
Love it, man.
Yeah,
they really love it.
The positivity and the positive reactions is what you're going to seek in times like these, you know?
Yeah, man.
Yes, yes.
We all need it.
Yeah. One of the things we normally do on this podcast is a thankful joint where we, you know, share and kind of commemorate over a joint and speak to what we're thankful for. We're out in public now, so we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But if we want, we can just go around and say what we're thankful for real quick, you know what I mean? Just so that we can keep that tradition, because, you know, being mindful and being grateful is something we try to remind ourselves of on the podcast.
I'll start it off.
All right, yeah. I'm looking at you, bro.
I'm grateful of conscious thought. I'm grateful of people, you know, like yourself, putting out the positive energy for our children to take it and run with it, you know. It's not only like leaving them with an opportunity that's greater for us, it's more like the teachings involved with how we live our life, you know, like everybody is a collective, like-minded individuals, and how we raise our children is going to be a reflection of ourselves. So if we keep with this positive consciousness, everything's going to follow suit later on in life. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, man.
Passing it on.
All right. Yes. Yeah, man. Let me take this thought. Yeah, what am I grateful for? So much. I mean, life, the opportunities that it brings, you know? The hope that tomorrow can be better. And I give thanks right now as we stand here for health and strength.
Yes.
Because it's not going to be with us forever.
Yes.
So here we are in the moment, and we have to do something with it. So I give thanks for that, man. Yeah.
And I said it in the beginning, but I'm thankful for you being on this podcast. Like I said, this is like a huge, like, dream of mine to have, you know, just to be able to interact with you and talk with you. And it's a dream come true. So I'm grateful for that. And I thank you for your time. Like, seriously.
Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty unique, man. Like, talking to the professor here, you know, it's like, followed you for a while. I know, like, how intelligent and how thorough you are in the way you think and speak. And, like, that was kind of like inspiring to me waking up this morning. Like, I get to talk to this man that's so intelligent and so well traveled and well versed, that, you know, whatever will come out of his mouth is preach, you know, it's fact. I mean, it's something I would take as, it holds a lot of weight, you know, because you are so well versed around the world and, you know, have a clear mind, clear way of viewing things. So it's an educated way of thinking. And it's like, that's something that for me, not only I found a groundation as a human being, seeing someone like you, I would listen to what you have to say, and it would resonate a little bit more than just an average person. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Give thanks. I feel that. And I feel that, again, with this Hebron Gate tour, because not many people have been to Israel. Totally. Not many people have been to Palestine and the occupied territories. Mm. Not many people have to go through all the IDF checkpoints and had held up with machine gun and these things, you know? Mm-hmm. Been to Hebron, you know? And I have. I know, and those are places that I know, and I have friends and family there. And it's important that we keep spreading the consciousness that we gather along the way, you know? These little seeds that we pick up, you know, we can make them grow. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's a joy, man. It's a joy.
It's so awesome.
Consciousness, that's like the overarching theme is... Because I'm like a lyrics guy, so I listen to what people are saying in music. And
me too.
Not just... I mean, the music's got to be good too, but like if the lyrics are on point, I can kind of like let go of like the song wasn't that great or whatever, but like... Listening to your music, it's funny. I actually first heard of you guys at a hotel when I was working just around the corner from here. I used to work in the Bell and Valet department, and one of my coworkers brought in a CD and was like, "What is this?" And then from then it was just like following you guys and, you know, listening to the music and, you know, just watching a bunch of stuff, but I forget where I was going with that, but
the lyrics.
Consciousness. That's right. Yeah, I'm
for
a
me,
fan.
It was more the melody that brought me in. Like I'm more like the melody type of guy. I'll hear something and it's like, oh shoot, that's catchy. And like if I sing along, it's atrocious because I just screw up all lyrics. But like, I'll try and hit my key, you know, and it'll sound good. But like I'll just be talking nothing.
You've been quoting that lyric wrong for 20 years, bro.
100%. Dude, I'll be singing something. My daughter's like, that doesn't sound right, Dad. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, you're right, huh?
You listen with fresh ears.
Yeah, the melody's where it's at too, man. It makes you pay attention to the lyrics.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah. You know. And so much of the music that I've written, it just comes through all in the same moment. The melody, the chords, the lyrics, it just happens. Hits. And, you know, you're talking about Herb and these things. There is something there with music and inspiration and ganja, you know. Mm-hmm. There's this connection that... It kind of opens up these pathways, and it can scatter your thoughts, but it can collect them when you least expect it.
Right.
And it's magic, you know?
Yes.
Picture on the wall, all these songs that maybe it's odd time meters and strange, kind of not typical.
Yeah.
But they never were written. I didn't sit down and say, let me make a song that has four beats and three beats and
all
do the
feel.
Yeah, it's all just... comes, man.
Yeah,
natural. And record it, you know, because just like Herb, you do something special, if you didn't capture it,
it's gone. But sometimes that's like the cool thing about those moments is like it was a moment in time, you have the memory, you know what I mean, of it. I mean, with music you probably want to get it down and record it.
I mean, I've had many times where I've written songs and I say those are songs for Jah.
Because
Jah alone hears them,
right,
and they're gone, you know.
Exactly.
And like you said, there's something magical about that.
It's like a practice, like you're practicing it for like just the creative process, just putting things out there for the universe, even if that's all it is for, you know, if nobody else hears it. Yeah.
Yes, man.
Do you feel a sort of inspiration before you sit down and like think about a music? Is it like, okay, I see something that's relevant, I'll let it motivate me and then see what music spews out from there? Or is it kind of like a premeditated intention of going into writing that music?
No, it's just kind of in the moment, stream of consciousness kind of thing. Mm. With the travels, with meeting people, with reading, with trying to grow as a person, I feel like you have all these tools that are in the back of your mind. So when the moment comes, you're just free.
Wow.
And what comes is a collection of these thoughts and ideas you've been gathering.
And
that makes it special, and that makes it, I feel like if you force it, or you know, you really come with, oh, I'm gonna do this, you know, it never really comes out right.
Right.
It has to be natural and just like live, when you go see Groundation, you know, we're in the moment.
Yes.
And there's so many things that we're improvising that people don't do today because they have click tracks in their ear, they have backing tracks.
Right.
Whereas live music today is not so live anymore, you know?
Right.
But for me, it's all about that because that makes that night, like
special.
Tonight, Yeah, and we're going to do things tonight that will never, ever happen again on planet Earth.
Right.
And that's beautiful.
Yes.
That is the beauty of a live show, because people reference, I saw them in 1998 at this place because that show was so unique.
Specific.
Yeah, they played all the same songs, but, like, you know what I mean? Their solos were different, timing was different, all that kind of stuff. The vibe, you know, takes a big...
What was this? Bob Marley in Santa Barbara. You look at how he performed on that one, right? You'll never get that same exact set, exact feeling, exact presentation.
Sure,
it'll be completely different every single time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate the live music. Keep it going.
Yeah.
Like, that's a timestamp of significance that's going to end up with you forever.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
Yes, my brother.
Here's one thing I noticed, that the energy that comes across on a live album that you guys put out versus even, or like a album you put out versus at a live show, there's like no difference. I feel like there's the same drive and energy, and like the songs still sound the same live versus the studio versions, which I feel is hard to capture, because sometimes you hear a song on, like, you know, the studio version, you like it, it's good, but then you see it live and it's like, oh my god, that's so much better, you know what I mean? For me, like, personally speaking, like, to see something live and the different variations, the little timing differences, is like
the thing that I've learned that an album really can't capture as well as live is just the dynamics. Mm-hmm. Just because of the nature, I mean, back in the day of recording on tape, you know, if you distort the tape or if you go into the red and it clips in the digital world, is really bad. So you dynamically, you don't have the range you do live,
right?
You know, mm-hmm. I can be real quiet on the mic and then shout real big live.
Right,
the drummer can do I remember when we were recording Weeping Pirates, And the drummer did some on the hi-hat, and Jim Fox engineer's like, whoa, you guys can't, you know, I'm trying to level the sound, and if it jumps into the red, the song is,
the
we can't use it, you know?
Yeah.
So the studio requires this type of more leveled playing.
Real restrictive.
Yeah, you don't have the dynamics.
Yes.
And live, you can push it.
So how do you get around that, though, then? Because your recorded albums still have that energy and, like...
Well, we have, with Jim Fox, who has recorded from Hebron Gate all the records through to One Rock from 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows us well. Even when I'm recording my lead vocal, he can see me. He's about ready.
Turn it down.
He's about ready to go on. You know, he's watching the tape monitors and whatnot.
On it, just waiting.
No, man, he is. He's riding those faders. And the same when he's looking at the band. Ooh, the drummer's about ready to really
do
something, you know. But because of that, it's
balance.
You don't get that dynamic, you know.
Yeah. That's cool. That's a professional. He's been in the game a long
he's
time,
He's been in the
too.
Game a long, long time.
Yeah. It's like you're running live sound for a recording, basically, because you have to be able to do the adjusting on the fly.
And he does that so that you don't have to put limiters and compressors on the musicians.
You can be you.
You can let them do their thing and automate it physically yourself in real time, you know?
And it comes to be like, stop. That was too loud. We got to take that one again. Start from the top.
Yeah. Then it all screws up.
Yeah, let the vibe flow. Just
the analog tape has a little more leeway because it sounds a little better in the red than if the digital world, when it clips, is just not, you can't use it, you know?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a particular
Anu,
sound.
Anu, take notes, Anu.
Yes.
Anu's our sound guy. He's not here today. And also, shout out to Bud Naked, who's our usual video guy, who's not here, but we have Auntie Ivy filling in. Shout out for making it. But, dude, so... I don't know. What else? You got any?
One of the questions.
What do you got, Matt?
One of the questions. I know. Wow, pressure's on. One of the questions for me was, like, hearing you and your guys' unique style. Like, well, who was, if you could grab one artist that was a main motivator for you, who would it be?
Wow. I mean, I would probably always go to Miles Davis. Miles Davis, because he was able to flex and move.
Wow.
From the bebop era to the cool jazz to that more free fusion jazz to the funk to the rock and roll.
Insane.
Yeah,
okay.
He was Miles always had an ability to really not even be in the right time, but be ahead of the times,
you know,
be pushing. And I love that. You know, I love that about musicians who can say, hey, even one of my friends said, Groundation is so different. Like, most groups are famous for the box that they're in.
Yeah.
But Groundation is famous for not having a box. Each album is supposed to sound different, you know?
You're
supposed to explore different things. And that's what I love about Miles and about these great musicians.
Hell yeah. Each one teach one's my favorite.
Yes,
I use that phrase time and time again.
Yeah, you know, man, like, that's life.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And that's an album that I love, and I have it all the time. Going,
right,
so
on. Right on.
Tune in.
Go buy it.
Go buy it. Get it.
If you don't own it already. But we kind of started talking about cannabis a little. We are, you know, in that vein on this podcast. Like, you're in California, where it's
sure.
pretty much the gates are wide open. It's recreational for adult use.
Yeah, it is.
Like, how do you feel that has a, like, what have you seen, like, changes just in
Man, it's amazing.
Cali?
It's amazing. Yeah? I mean, for all of us who've gone through it, mm-hmm. over the decades and seen friends put in jail and families torn apart and, you know, divorces and all, just because of this plant that's growing in the yard, you know,
right.
is to go from that to where we are today is wonderful, man.
Yeah.
I've always, even from teenage years, is like, okay, alcohol is legal for people to do, yet look at all the DUIs and people getting killed from drunk drivers, spousal abuse, you know, all these things that happen with alcohol. You don't have that with cannabis, and yet it's fought against for what? Mm-hmm. You know, it really doesn't make any sense. People have to be free, you know, that's what Rasta is really fighting for, freedoms, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We want more freedoms, not less.
Yes.
And so to see this, and it's culturally happening around the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of it came from California. But it's happening all over the place, and it's great to see, because you know, we're tired of friends and family going through misery for this plant.
Yeah, for sure. Like, here, I think one of the things, I mean, it's always on the ballot, right? It's gonna be legal. I just talked to somebody the other day. It's like, oh, it's up for vote this year again, right? But we've, like, especially on our podcast, kind of our stance is there's a way to do legal. So that way it doesn't, because Hawaii is unique in, you know, where we are with small farmers, you know, limited space. So, like, I was interested to find that a lot of the local farmers here are opposed to just straight up legalization, just because it would hurt them, because it opens up for these big businesses. And on top of trying to fight the stigma and all the, you know, silly laws that exist around that plant that have all these negative consequences, we also want to make sure that there's a way that it doesn't screw over the little guys here, because Hawaii, it's full of a bunch of little guys, you know what I mean?
You know, it does that, mm-hmm. and it will do that.
Right, right.
It happened in California.
Mm.
So much of the business changed, you know, when it became legitimate and legal and whatnot. You're right, big business comes in, the state, you have all these things you have to do. You can no longer hire these brethren and put them into the bush and have them grow ganja and do these things and everybody make a little bit of money.
Right.
You know, now it's like, no.
W-2s and taxes. And
you guys are all employees.
Yeah.
You get your, you know, hourly wage and that's it.
Yeah.
So it's not easy, you know.
No,
And also it flooded the whole place. There was ganja
everywhere,
piled up to the ceiling, you know. What are we going to
quality
do
will
with
drop
this?
Because of the mass quantities, you know what I mean? So
sure.
We talk about being free, you know. Being free is something that, you know, as a human being, we all want, you know,
sure,
we all strive for. So to say that, hey, this industry is showing up, pay the man, you guys are all employees. We're never free. And that's kind of like what I preach too. It's like, all right, Hawaii, we're the small community. We allow big business to come over. We've now handed over our freedom once again to these big businesses. We are now stuck as employees and not free farmers. Because, like I was telling you, la'au is just, it's medicine in general, which is food is medicine. You know, medicine is medicine. So that's what needs to be put into the minds of these farmers out here, that we need to stand firm. Yeah, I know that, you know, it may open up the floodgates for, you know, the normal consumer, but Hawaii's been doing it for generations and taking care of the aunties who are consumers for a while. So I don't think we actually culturally need that. I think Hawaii, keeping it where it is, I think that's better for us. You know, I think ultimately, as the people living on a rock, that's better for us.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But for the world, I'd love it to just be. I would love it to be free. I mean, like I've said on the podcast before,
there's
like
plants growing all around us.
Yeah.
So.
No,
like a tomato. It should be just like a tomato. You can buy it at the grocery store. You can go to the farmer's market. You can grow your own. It's just another plant, right? And that, like, food is medicine. Medicine is medicine. So it should just kind of be the same. But yeah, the fear is that, like, I mean, you see, we're in Waikiki right now. I mean, this is like kind of like we're
capitalism
in the heart of it.
Yeah,
and
man, for real.
In Hawaii, there's like that. There's like an kind of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a, oh shit, stay away from me, with that kind of over-capitalized, over, you know, marketed type.
Yeah, from the local population. Yeah, you guys, yeah.
I'm sure people would love to be able to come over from the mainland and come vacation in Hawaii and just be able to go to a store and grab it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I liked it when I went to California. That was awesome.
Yeah, man.
Just walk great. In and be like, perfect.
You know, for me too, is like a double-edged sword. You don't really see any Groundation ganja songs. You're not going to see me on stage. Hey, I support it.
Yeah.
And I use it in my own personal time, you know? But to me, it's a sacred thing.
Yes.
And you see in California around the world that they use it as a drug.
Right.
We want it stronger. I want to get higher. I want to, you know, get super high and sit on my couch. And, you know, that's not what I am promoting, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, that's not what we're promoting either. It's more
productive stoners.
Yeah.
We want productive stoners. Yeah, we don't want to fit into the scramble egg on the hot frying pan commercial, right? We wanna be productive people, and we want to show the world that this does not hinder us. It is not a drug.
Right.
It is medicine for us. It doesn't change us as an individual, you know? So yeah, I see exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like that you guys don't have any like blatant songs about ganja, because
I never really
wanted
to, even though it comes with the territory and we support it and do it in our own private thing. But you never know what the next person's going to do with it.
Right.
And it could ruin them, you know? I mean, I'm sure we all have had friends who, they can't take it.
Yeah.
No,
you know?
Yeah.
It gets too cerebral. Like, it gets too much in their head.
Yes.
So, you know, there's a, like I said, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
You got to know what you're using it for and not abuse it, you know?
Plus, like, what you guys are preaching is more life things rather than just a singularity.
Right.
It's like how the credo of how a human being should be operational, you know? It's not so much like, here's weed, go smoke it, sing about. No, it's it's beyond that. You know, it's spiritual, like how you guys are talking
about.
Yes,
man.
Yeah. I don't need you to sing about weed for me to listen to your music and enjoy it. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Yeah, it's like,
exactly.
We got enough of that already. There's
better
tons of people. Yeah, there's tons of people making just over the top songs about it. Like, let's learn. Let's like grow. Like you were saying earlier, spiritual. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We went to a show of yours. I don't know, me and my wife, probably like 10 years ago, maybe. I don't know. I'm not good on dates, but we talked about it after, and it was like a spiritual experience. It is like going to church, because you're getting the healing from the music. You're getting like wisdom in the lyrics, and you're with a whole bunch of people, you know what I mean? Kind of there, you're hoping for the same, with the same intention. And with a show like yours, majority of them are, it's not like, you know, the brothers coming out for fucking get drunk and party, right?
Party.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
Different.
We're trying to elevate.
Yes.
Yeah, both the crowd and ourselves, you know, we're not coming as preachers.
Right, no. Yeah,
we're coming to learn as well as students, you know?
Interesting you say that, because like, I'm not the organized religion type of guy, you know, like,
yeah, man.
I find a lot of faults in organized religion, but like when I go to a show that's a spiritual show, it's to me more significant than church, because I'm electively going, you know, I'm electively learning. It's not like, man, I'm gonna burn in hell if I don't go. It's like, right. I'm gonna go
Yeah, man.
Nobody's forcing you.
No, I'm gonna go listen to the professor. He has some educated words he says in the form of melodies, and then I'm gonna listen and let it hit me in the soul.
You know?
And that's how church should be hitting people. You know, it shouldn't be controlling you by fear. It should be like, I wanna go and I wanna feel this vibration. And I want him to speak to me directly.
You know?
Yeah.
And no judgment, you know?
None.
No judgment. The past has got nothing to do with it.
Mm.
It's about how we live in the present.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah. Wrap it up, man.
Yeah, shall we wrap it up? How long have we been going? Does it stay on there? Oh, that's cool. That's perfect. Yeah.
That's perfect.
All right. Well, again, thank you. I know you guys got to get to sound check for your show.
Yeah, sound check time.
This is going to come out later, but you guys are playing Hawaiian Brian's tonight. Tomorrow night, too, I saw the show got moved from Wet n Wild.
Great for us.
Yeah, let's travel.
They were like, 7 a.m. sound check.
What?
Wait, what?
So thank you for changing the venue.
Yes, thank you.
But, so you guys are, anything you want to plug? I know people watching probably know who you are already.
Yeah, I mean, already. You know, we do our works. We're Groundation. We got new music coming out. One Rock album came out in 2022, and that's the final recording of the Abyssinians, Israel Vibration, before Skelly passed away. Lead singer Abyssinian Setas got Parkinson's in Jamaica, not well, and the Congos. So, you know, it's like... we always try to connect to those roots.
Yeah,
and during the pandemic, seeing all these great elders pass away, it was, we were going to be featuring a bunch of young artists, you know, in California and these things. But then to me, it was like, man, if we don't record these elders now, they're not going to be here. Yeah.
There's a sense of urgency.
Yes. And also those are the people I love. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know so much the younger generation, you know. Yeah. So let's record them while they're here.
Yes. Capture it now. Yes, and you, sir?
Go Guru Hawaii, Guru's Grow Supply. Come check me out. And the Hawaii Cannabis Expo, February 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
Yeah. Nice.
Come check us out.
And check me out, Voices from the Planet. I'm also going to be putting this episode on my channel, too. So sorry, guys.
Nice.
But
No.
Yeah. Everywhere, Voices from the Planet. And again, Harrison, thank you for taking
the
time.
My pleasure. Yeah.
All right, man. Peace.